systems are a go.
Hit it.
Radio Reaver. 97.2 FM. Jones Show.
Now, we have in the studio the amazing Liz Stringer, who is actually performing tonight live at the Folklore Rooms. Liz, how the hell are you?
I'm great, thank you. Really nice to be here and to meet you.
Well, can I just appreciate now, live, just how amazing it is to have you here, because I know that you must be buzzing about the gig tonight.
Yeah, no, well, I am, and so this is just a bonus, actually, yeah.
And when is the gig? Give us all the info that people need to know now about the Folklore Rooms.
The show is going to be... I'm headlining the show, and we have two support acts.
Oh, good. Who are they? I haven't got that.
So Laura Resnick, who has played a lot in Brighton, I know that. I think she might be Canadian. We haven't met, but I know her music, and she's wonderful. So she's going to be playing just before me. And then a sort of a later addition to the show is an amazing up-and-coming Australian songwriter called Citra. And she will be opening the gig.
How are you saying that? Citra?
Citra.
Citra.
Now, I don't know whether it's Citra or Citra. We haven't met either.
Okay, I know this. You're already describing most of my life.
Oh, my goodness.
You people come in and I'm like, oh, my God.
I know.
And you look at the name and you go, right, I'm going in. Going in deep and I'm going to give it a go.
I just found out this morning a musician who I've played with, like, on shows for years, I've been pronouncing her name wrong the entire time. And just her surname, not her actual name, but her surname. And I just started going through the Rolodex going, who else have I done that to?
Oh, no, don't.
Over the years.
I have done it to too many.
Yeah.
And then what happens is I do it for like 6 months, play their music, then they come in. And then 10 minutes into the interview, they go, oh, by the way, Pete.
Yeah.
And I go, are you kidding me? You had all this time to tell me, man. And they don't tell me. So I get that. But so there's three acts of us,
yeah.
And then it's you. And who's decided that? So are you, because when you normally gig at the moment, do you have support? Are you supporting people? Is it kind of a collaborative-y feel on the night, that sort of music that gels well together?
Yeah, well, I mean, last time I played in Brighton, I was opening the show for Emily Barker.
Right.
That was in winter, I think, January, February time. So in that scenario, I was opening the show. And this is my first kind of headline show in Brighton. So I just wanted to have a couple of guests who were, I thought, would work musically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people want to go tonight, I would probably suggest right now, it being the time that is, just pitch up at the Folklore Rooms. I'm pretty sure there'll still be tickets
there. There'll be some tickets there for sure.
It always works when I do this. It's such a gorgeous little venue. It's so sweet and it's very intimate and it's just a sort of a wraparound hug of a venue. It's gorgeous.
I've heard such beautiful things about it, yeah.
And the sound guys are brilliant and the people there are lovely. So it's going to be an absolute best. How long is your set?
My set will be around an hour, I reckon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty good set. You've got a new album out, right?
I do have a new album. Yeah, it came out in March, the end of March, which is a frighteningly long time ago in some ways, isn't it? I mean, what is it? That's 6 months old now.
Please
March,
stop.
I can't do
stop
the maths.
It now. I know. But basically what that means is we've had summer in the middle and we've gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. Just gone.
It's gone.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. I'm always like really alarmed by how quickly or how suddenly autumn just kind of turns up, isn't it? Summer, freezing mornings.
And I'm afraid this year autumn was mean.
Right.
It went straight into cold.
Oh, right. So you feel like it didn't have...
Yeah, I feel robbed of autumn, man.
I did feel like it was abrupt. Yeah,
okay. It was abrupt. It was so abrupt. How long have you been over this way? Because you are obviously, as you say, not only are you Australian, you're acclaimed, it says here. Acclaimed Australian songwriter.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you've got acclaimants going
on. Yes,
yes. How long have you been over in the UK?
I've been living over here since almost 2 years, just under 2 years.
What was the reason?
Well, this record that I just released this year, I made in Brixton in 2023 in summer. And while I was there, I was in London for about 3 months, living down in Brixton. And
It's a fun place.
It was great, yeah. And I was 3.5 minute walk exactly from the studio, which was brilliant. I enjoyed it. I've lived in various other parts of the world before, and you know, since the pandemic, it was something that was sort of on my radar to do again.
Did you feel in the pandemic that you were even more isolated? Because Australia were quite tough, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. And I was in Melbourne, which is, I think, the most locked-down city in the world.
Seriously, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's it was
even
intense.
More than the sort of Hong Kongs and the Singapores.
Yeah.
That's rough.
But, you know, I think I personally was very lucky. My situation was lucky. And I kind of, I mean, I guess this is such a stupid thing to say in some ways, but I know that all of us wish that we knew that that period was going to end.
Totally,
because there were advantages of being...
I know, we could have done stuff.
Yeah, there was so much time to kind of do things.
Yeah.
But so, you know, I was very lucky. But as far as my, obviously my industry and internationally, it was a very frightening period, wasn't it?
Just all around, like you said, your particular world, your particular work, but just the world.
Oh, yeah.
And just everyone's work. I mean, you know, I basically see lockdown and COVID and all that as a 24-month period.
Yep.
In the UK, that's kind of what the deltas.
Yep.
And out of those 24 months, only three could I work. And they weren't three together.
Yeah, just...
And you didn't know when they were coming.
Yeah.
It was so stressful.
Yeah, it was very...
crazy.
And I think people are still suffering under that kind of unable to or unwilling to really commit to anything concrete in the future just in case.
That's
I think we're
really
all still
good
a bit gun shy.
So then post-COVID, you thought, that's it, I'm out of here. I'm going to... Where did you go first? Did you come straight to the UK or...?
Well, I came to the UK to make the record. That was the first... The first place I came after that.
Yeah.
But just before then, I'd actually just received my Canadian permanent residency.
Okay.
Yeah, and happened to be in Australia, thankfully, on tour when everything got locked down. So I'm glad I was in Australia because it was so... The borders shut straight away and I would have been isolated from all of my family
really,
and friends.
Really, really tough.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Now, listen, you are here to play.
Yes.
Would you mind giving that gorgeous-looking guitar a little workout? What have you got lined up for us?
I thought I'd play a couple of songs from this new
record. We had the Elton John piano lined up for you on the music stage just over there. You can see just through that we've got this sort of live lounge bit that you can see.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that, though.
But, you know, if you want to, if you're happy to play your own, that's fine. They're absolutely gorgeous. What are you going to play?
This is a song called On the Level.
Take it away.
You used to look over my shoulder when we talked, and I was good with it. You traded in a currency that I could never see the worth in it. Now something's changed and you want to engage. I feel uncomfortable. I don't think I want to give you what you want, whatever it is you're looking for. You want to know me now. I'm flying high. Reminds me why I keep my cards on the table. I've been around and I can feel what's real. That's why I deal with the ones who keep it on the level. Around the edges in the dark, I know you are now watching me. But out here on the margins, our horizons that stretch beyond where your eyes can see. And in the depths, deep down, where my resilience was born, I got lifted, I got gifted real time, real love, real connection.
why I deal with the ones who keep it on the level. I'm still worth out what I was before. I don't deserve anymore. It's disingenuous to treat me special. I've been around and I can feel what's real. That's why I deal with the ones who keep it on the level.
Lovely. You're listening to Liz Stringer here, playing live for us on The Pete Jones Show, On The Level, from the first album. Was that First Time Really Feeling?
This one, that song is from the most recent one, which is called The Second High.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
That's from The Second High?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to sack one of our researchers. That's it. Brett, you're gone. That's it. He's gone. He's gone. Oh, look at him. Watch him. Bless him. I woke him up, I think. I do... We've got the usual producers in, of course. We've got Brett and Simone doing whatever they do. Simone looks like she's watching sport. She loves women's rugby. Can't get enough. And then we've just got the guys that do all the work here, Bernie and Ernie right behind me, which is good. So we've lost Brett. That's fine. So tell us what the second album's called.
The second song?
No, the second album.
Oh, the second album.
Because it's not called First Time Really Feeling, because that was the first album. We got that bit right. We just got the fact that On The Level is from your second album. Is that right?
Well, it's not my second, but it's actually my seventh.
Well, that's it. Forget it. They've all gone. That's it. That's it. Get out. They've gone. They've gone. Forget it. I'm so, so sorry. You come all this way. You expected professionalism. You got us. That's fine. Seven albums.
That's my... Yeah, so...
What?
On the, not on the level.
That's amazing.
The second high is seven. First Time Really Feeling is six.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. But the chronology was right.
Yeah, I know. I'm good at chronology. That is what I do. I do chronology. That's it. Any other facts? No way. We don't do that. So talk me through the last album that you are pushing tonight. And what is it called? And how's it all going to hang? Because it's piano-based.
It is piano-based.
I got that right.
So it's my only really piano-based record. Of all the records I made before that are very guitar-focused. But I've played piano for a long time. And I have kind of influences of jazz and soul and funk and stuff, as well as the kind of folk and rock and roll stuff that I like. So this is... Yeah, that I'm going to be playing quite a lot on keys tonight.
So why switch from guitar bass to piano? And who in? I guess now you're seven albums in. This isn't even a thing. But in terms of influences and female and other artists around, you know, what kind of drew you? What's in the DNA that's sort of sifting around and coming out the other end?
Yeah, well, I think I've always loved, you know, kind of classics like soul singers like Aretha Franklin, and then the more, say, modern or like 90s divas, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, all that sort of stuff. So that kind of like soul R&B, and then people like Jill Scott or there's a lot of kind of, a lot of those influences I've always loved. I love a good ballad, you know, I love a good kind of funk tune. So it's like they're the influences that I'm drawing on.
Yeah.
Whereas before that, for some reason, all of my... I think maybe the time that I came up in Melbourne as a performer, everyone was playing guitar and, you know, I was a guitar player too. So I just naturally did that and then I just never deviated for whatever reason. But
yeah.
I think I just thought finally, like, I love playing all these kind of bang, big piano ballads in my bedroom.
Yeah.
It's time I came out of the...
Damn right.
Out of the, you know, soul closet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other artists that you are so familiar with in Melbourne and from Melbourne that have just never come over, and other is a sort of like, oh, you guys would love this artist or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, oh goodness, yeah. There's
I'm sure there's loads.
There are a lot. I mean, one of my favourite singers is Emma Donovan, who
right, I'm writing this down.
Yeah. She's got a I mean, she's in fact her latest record was more of a kind of a country album, but she's got a few like incredible soul albums out, incredible voice. But there's a lot of a lot of that stuff. A lot of really great funk and soul bands in Melbourne. It's got a great jazz scene. There's like, you know, it's a lot going on. So there's kind of all of those things to mine as well as a musician.
I feel a little bit of Joan Armatrading in there somewhere.
Oh, totally. Is that okay? I love Joan Armatrading.
I don't want to insult.
No, I think she's...
And people don't have to sound like anybody.
Yeah.
I get all that. But there's that lovely feeling that, you know, such a sort of honesty and simplicity, but it's not simple at all, but it sounds...
It's pretty
know,
simple.
Do you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah. I do.
It's simple until I try to write it. it's just that's just rawness and beauty, and that comes across with you. I love that. Do you want to dig another track? What have you got lined up?
Sure. So this is from the same record, The Second Higher.
Yeah.
This is called While I Was Dying. Which sounds sad, but it's actually quite a hopeful song.
I'm just getting word from the producers. Are you knocking the desk ever so slightly?
I am, sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. They're sticklers for that.
If you ask my partner Josh, who's here in the studio, I am constantly moving my feet all the time.
There you go, to the beat.
Yeah.
Well, just stop it.
Anything. I will stop it. I'm moving my foot, but it's in the chasm under the desk.
It's because this high tech desk is so wired up.
Yeah.
It's about to go, you know? And any slight rumble on it, it's like I'm so sorry.
No, thank you for pointing that out. Okay.
While I was dying.
I came alive while I was dying. The agony of the shedding skin. And it was hard and in rigid denying. I tried to hold on to the past within. I'm grateful to you, you showed me courage.
just brilliant. That is gorgeous. You're listening to Liz Stringer. While I Was Dying from the 7th album.
Yes.
God, Jesus. Well, you probably didn't notice, but while you were singing, While I Was Dying, Brett, on his way out, slipped me this little bit of paper, and on it, it says all the things I needed to know. I now am gemmed up. I am gemmed up. You know, thank you.
Better late than never, Brett.
Yeah, close the blinking door behind you. Honestly, ridiculous. What was the experience like to record? Was that the first album you've recorded in the UK?
Yes, it was.
And how did you find that? And would you do it again? Would you do an 8th?
Oh, definitely. I worked with a producer called Benny Giles, who I found because I loved the Leanne LaHavas record, her eponymous album.
Yeah.
And he was one of the producers and mixed engineers on that record. And I just love the songs that he worked on. I mean, I love the whole record, but so I just kind of cold called him and said, you know, sent him some stuff and said, would you be interested in doing this with me? And he was. So, yeah, it was great. I would absolutely do it again if I could afford it.
What is, well, there is that. There is that. People, please get to the folklore rooms tonight.
Yes,
we need
please.
Some money. You'll find tins all around the room. It'll say fund my 8th.
Yes,
on it.
Exactly. That's right.
Which is just the way to go. By the way, you can go and see Liz tonight, folks, tonight at the folklore rooms. If you don't know where it is, well, look it up. It's above the Quadrant, which is a very fine pub, right on by the clock tower, central, most central bit of Brighton. For goodness sake, if you don't know where it is, then, well, what's the point? And I think you can get tickets on the door. You can definitely get tickets on the door. What is your plan, literally musically? So from now, for the next 6 months, say, or the next year, I know you've got a trip planned back to Australia. Are you going to be touring out there while you're there?
Yes, that's kind of the major reason that we're going there. So I'll be touring for most of the rest of the year. So
great.
Yes. And then, you know, the plan is to record some new songs and...
How does that work? Have you written a ton of stuff that just needs to be kind of worked on in the studio or a little bit polished? Or
yes, yeah, I sort of write fairly consistently. I haven't for the last kind of 6 months, but I used to write fairly consistently. So I have a bunch of songs that I would usually save for a record, but we're going to try. I say me and my sort of team are going to try just recording some songs and releasing them as singles, you know, just because there is a bit of a backlog and making a record and releasing it is a big deal and a big financial outlay. And so we're going to do that. And I moved here a couple of years ago, but my plan is to really develop this market and, you know, do some, hopefully some support tours and try and get my name out there a bit.
Yeah, definitely. And would you, if you could, if money was no object, would that be a studio that you gravitate back to, the Brixton experience?
Would totally. Yeah, I would absolutely work with Benny again.
What about writing? Do you write with anyone else, or is it literally what you?
I have done, but generally for their projects, you know, I'm quite a lone wolf as far as for my own stuff.
Yeah.
And that might be a bit kind of closed-minded of me. I don't know, but I haven't done it yet. So I wouldn't rule it out.
If it's working.
Well, if it works,
and
that's
also
right.
If you enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the ultimate.
Yeah,
if you're not
you're
enjoying
right.
yourself.
What's the point?
What is the point? What about when it comes to playing live? Do you always play on your own?
No. In fact, I have a fantastic band in London who I've toured with over the last couple of years. And in Australia, I have a band as well based in Melbourne. And so depending on what I'm doing, I love playing with a band.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there a specific studio in Melbourne that you've loved recording in and that you might pop in and say hi in?
Well, I am going to pop in for a day to Rolling Stock Studios, which is in Collingwood, which is kind of, you know, actually reminds me a lot of Brighton.
Hey, sounds good.
Yeah.
I like it.
So I'll be popping in there, and it's funny that the more you sort of come up through music, a lot of my peers in music have started kind of going into engineering or they're engineers that have opened their own studios.
It's a well-worn path.
Totally,
isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah. So it's kind of there's always new spaces being filled, which is really good.
Yeah. Absolutely. Folks, please come to the gig tonight, Folklore Rooms. You will have a blast. Remind us who's supporting you again. Who are the other two acts?
Laura Resnick
yep.
and Chitra from Australia.
very, very confidently said.
You have to commit, don't you? Once
just
you
got to own it, baby.
But I'm so sorry, honey, if I didn't do that right.
You'll be fine. Would you like to play another track? Because you've got plenty of time. I'd love to hear another one.
Totally, yeah. Well, I might go to my... to the record before the one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've run out of guitar songs.
Which was called?
That new one. The record's called First Time Really Feeling. This is a song called Dangerous, which is, it's a true story about a guy who I met after a show. And just for a little bit of context, because I think it helps explain the story, I am now just over 9 years sober.
Right,
and this was written a couple of years after I got sober. I was touring and it was quite a new world for me, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd been speaking about that on stage and this amazing older guy, probably in his late 60s, came and told me his story of sobriety, and he'd been a violent alcoholic in his youth and was violent with his kids and his wife, and eventually she said that she'd leave if he didn't turn it around, and he did. He absolutely turned his life around. And he now works for unions in Australia, working with young men about kind of anger management and substance abuse issues, all that sort of stuff. I mean, incredible guy. So
yeah.
This is his story told through his wife's voice. Yes.
Got it. Amazing.
Let me just, out of respect for everyone... tune this guitar.
You haven't met these people. They don't deserve any respect. They're just lucky to have you here.
Even just the people in the room.
Especially the people in the room.
Okay. There we go. Remembered my own song, everyone. Got it. Here you go. Our love was quite the whirlwind. Married by the time I was 19, living in a prefab out in Cremorne. The force of a fire front was raging in ya. We fought and we fought, ripped the flesh from the sinew. No greater favor between any two. You'd say, darling, sometimes I feel dangerous. Darkness waiting, no light nowhere. Dangerous. You quit the Navy, got your union tats, and with your land legs, your great thirst came back. While your children grew up quiet in another room, you packed it in. When I packed up the kids, said you were terrified of all the things I told you that you did. Said you didn't understand the rage that could devour you. And you'd say, darling, sometimes I feel dangerous. Darkness stretching, no light, no way. Dangerous. When there's fighting in the factions, there's no decisions, just a set of reactions. We drove the camel-pelt country down the shimmering hewn to where your aunts rode trams in wisteria hue. And you said about hosing the tiles in your sticky soul. You weeded out those rotten roots from down in the marrow. Taught the union boys the power in the straight and the narrow. To them you were a father, a healer, a tower, a force. Your own father, you couldn't talk too easily to say there's something in you. And I'm terrified it might be in me. So you grew up pushing it away. Well, I'm so proud of you. And my love is a monster. Ain't like that got you through. You earn everything that belongs to you. Kids will come round. They gotta find.
is no light, no way dangerous. But there are floodlights hiding, waiting for us to do the deciding. There is hope under the heavy, high tightrope.
So good. Liz, thank you so much for coming in. You've been absolutely brilliant. It's so great to meet you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
And I can only apologise on the lack of research from the team. We are running a tight ship here, and you can understand. Heads will roll. Have the best of nights tonight. You will be brilliant. The Folklore Rooms deserves nothing less. And keep us informed if you've got new stuff coming up.
Yes.
We'd love that.
Thank you so much.
And if you're coming back to Brighton, please pop in.
Thank you. I absolutely will. Thank you.
It's great to see you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Antonia Redding, coming to you from Radio Reverb 97.2. Fresh and original.